If we could turn in our Bible to Matthew 11, and going to read from verse 25, but we will be thinking this evening about verses 28 to 30. So Jesus says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me by my Father, and no one knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for these comforting words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray this evening that you will help us as we consider them. I do pray, Father, that you'll help me to be able to teach your word in a good and helpful way, and in the power of your Spirit. And Father, please will you work in each one of us by your Spirit to move us to receive your word. Lord, will you draw any who might come among us who do not yet know Christ to yourself, or any who might listen to this recording. And we pray also, Father, that you will also bless and help those already believers to know your grace more and more. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here in these words which we're thinking about this evening, verses 28 to 30, we have Jesus' gracious invitation to all those who are spiritually weary and burdened. He says, to all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And he says to them to come to him, because he wishes to give them his rest. But he also says that not only are they to give to him the burdens that they have, that they might receive his rest, but then also that they are to receive from him a yoke, that they might carry the burden that he wants them to carry. But he says, don't worry about that, because he says, I am meek and lowly. I'm not some cruel master who's going to misuse you. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we think about this saying of the Lord Jesus, I want to do so under two halves. The first half, to think about his call to come to him and to give to him our burdens. And then secondly, for us to think about our call to receive from him his yoke and to live in harmony with him. So, first of all then, how the Lord Jesus calls us to come to him and to give over to him the burdens that we have been carrying. Now he says, look again in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what is, when he talks, when he addresses those who labor, what is he talking about there? Is he just offering sort of help to those who have got very pressing manual jobs, for example? Saying, now look, here you are, I'm going to give you some rest from your manual job. Well, I think we can take it that he's talking to those who are laboring in their souls, to those who are laboring spiritually, because he says, you shall find rest for your souls. So this is not physical labor, this is spiritual labor, soul labor. So who are these ones who are laboring in their souls? Well, I should like to suggest to you that he may well have had in mind those who have been laboring and working to establish their own righteousness, to establish their own place in heaven. If we look around in our society, we find that a very large number of people in our world are actually religious. I know our society is very secular, but actually if you look around the world, we find that many are very religious, and many go to extraordinary lengths in order to find or to gain a hope, a place in heaven, or at least hoping that somehow through their efforts they might have a chance of gaining a place in heaven. And so we find people doing things like attending their place of worship, whether it be a church or a temple or a mosque, frequently, sometimes many times a week. We find people fasting. We've just been going through Ramadan, haven't we? Many people here around us here going through Ramadan. They're prepared to fast from dawn until dusk for many days on end. People are prepared to go on pilgrimages, to go hundreds of miles. They're prepared to pray in some cases many times a day. They're prepared to give large sums of money to the poor or to their religious causes. Some even will go so far as to engage in a suicide mission for their religion, hoping that that will somehow give them a place in heaven. And then we have other religious groups who will be prepared to knock on doors for many hours a week, hoping that somehow through their efforts they will find a place in the new earth, the paradise earth. They don't even hope, these people don't even think they'll get to heaven, but they hope that maybe they might get a place on paradise earth. And even perhaps sometimes those who would call themselves Bible-believing Christians sometimes slip into this idea that in order to find favour with God, we must work. We must get to the prayer meeting, or we must do evangelism, or we must do some works somehow in order to gain favour with the Lord. But Jesus says, to all those who are labouring to find acceptance with God, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. You say, how can he do that? How can Jesus say, look, you don't need to work anymore? Well, the answer is because he has done it all. He's paid that price on Calvary's tree, on Calvary's cross. He has bought for all those who will come to him the right to have their sins forgiven and the right to go to heaven. There's nothing that needs to be done to pay for it. All we have to do is simply come to him empty-handed and receive from him the gift of eternal life. But Jesus also addresses not just those who labor, but also those who are burdened. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Now, who are these ones who are heavy laden? What are these burdens that Jesus is talking about? Well, let me mention a few things that I think would be addressed by this. And this is not an exhaustive list, but let me mention a few things, a few of the burdens that people have and that Jesus would address. First of all, and this really is the root of all the other burdens that people have, the burden of a guilty conscience. There are many who are heavy laden with guilt. Now, some people are very explicitly and very consciously aware of guilt. And they feel, I'm such a sinner. I've done so much wrong. I don't know why the earth doesn't swallow me up immediately, because I'm so unworthy for God. A few feel like that, right? Probably the vast majority of people don't feel like that. Probably the vast majority of people, they are aware of guilt and yet they suppress it. They push it down. And yet that guilt is there. And I'm told that a large number of those who are mentally ill, actually, it comes down to unresolved guilt. There is that guilt there. There are these things that they've done wrong. And they know that actually there is one to whom they must give an account. Almighty God. And this is also why so many have a dread of death. Because, you know, they might whistle in the dark, oh, say, I'm not afraid to die. But actually, they are. Why? Because they feel this sense of guilt. They know that when they die, they're going to have to give an account to Almighty God. But Jesus says to all those who are feeling the burden of guilt before God, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. How is this possible? Because of what he did on that cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That burden of guilt that is on your shoulders, you can release and leave with him if you will come to him and you will trust in him, and you can know that that guilt has been paid for in entirety. There's nothing left for you to pay. Let me mention another burden that people carry. Not just the burden of guilt for sin, but also the burden of regret for sin. Now you say, what's the difference between the burden of guilt for sin and the burden of regret? The burden of guilt is where you know that you've offended against God, and that's on your conscience. The burden of regret is where you feel a deep sense of sorrow for the ill effects of your sin and wrongdoing and mistakes upon your own life and upon the lives of those you love. And there are many people who are overwhelmed with the burden of regret. They think of relationships that have broken down. A former husband or wife who will no longer talk to them. Children who don't want to know them. Work colleagues who are estranged from them. Jobs that they've lost because of foolish decisions made. Homes lost. And for some, the burden of regret for sin can be so great. Some might even feel, well, I don't know even I can live anymore. I don't see there's any point in my life. Some even contemplate suicide for this very reason, because of regret for wrongdoing. But Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, he's not promising that necessarily that damage that's been done by our folly is necessarily going to be reversed. It's not that necessarily relationships will be restored, or that necessarily you'll have your house back or your job back that you've lost through your own folly. But he does promise comfort for those who come to him. Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And Isaiah says in Isaiah 61, words of great comfort to those who grieve because of their sin, for those who have terrible regret for wrongdoing. These wonderful words that were quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke's Gospel as applying to him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You see, God is promising here joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Then I could also mention the burden of anxiety. So many are burdened with a sense of anxiety. A sense, well, what could happen in the future? How could I cope if this was to happen? Many have a sense of dread and foreboding. There's somebody that I know, and probably you know others like this. She's a professing believer, but she cannot bring herself to leave her house She is so crippled with fear as to what might happen to her if she was to leave her home. But Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. You say, well, how can I be set free from the burden of anxiety and fear? Well, the answer is that the root of anxiety and fear is guilt and sin again. The thought, well, maybe I'm not right with God. Or maybe God has got it in for me. But when you truly know that your sins have been taken away, then you can know God's peace in your life. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And so you can commit to God all the things that you are concerned about. Peter says in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So that burden of anxiety and concern, the Lord Jesus says to you, come to him. Give to him that burden that you're carrying. And then I could also mention the burden of keeping, feeling you have to keep man-made rules. There are so many people who are bound up with the tremendous burden of thinking, I've got to have this set of clothing in order to look okay with my friends. I've got to have a house that looks like a catalogue. I've got to have a certain job in order to be able to hold my head up high. And people feel this burden to fulfill what other people expect of them. Or maybe what they have placed upon themselves. This burden of achieving certain goals in their lives. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are burdened. Let me mention another burden. Burden of anger and resentment. Many people carry around with them a dreadful sense of a burden concerning things that have happened in the past. The way that friends have let them down, or maybe the way they feel they've been abused in the past. Maybe even believers have let them down. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. How does that burden of resentment get taken away by Jesus? Well, the thing is, when you come to Jesus and you receive from him his forgiveness, you can't carry on with feeling that resentment in your life. Let me mention one more burden before we move on. The burden that comes from sinful habits. See, when the devil first presents a sin to you, he presents it to you as something which is attractive, mm-hmm. something which won't really harm you, and something which you can just, when you've had enough of it, you can dispense with it, doesn't he? Look, just do this little thing, and then when you've had enough, then you can stop. But what he doesn't tell you is that behind that little thing is a long tail. And that little thing that you start to get involved with is going to wrap itself around you and wrap itself around you, like a spider wraps its web around the fly until you're bound. And in fact, that binding that he gives you is the binding of chains, heavy chains, shackles, which are put on you. You go freely into sin, but once you've gone into that sin, can you get out of it? It quickly becomes a habit that you can't break. And then maybe you, with all the power of willpower, you break that one habit, and then you find you've got 10 other habits that are worse than the one you've just broken. Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. You say, but I can't. These other burdens maybe I can take off, but I can't take off this burden. No, but he can take it off. He's got the key that will unlock those shackles and set you free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. So here are these burdens that Jesus says, now look, come to me, and I will give you rest from these burdens. I've only mentioned some, there's probably many others that could be mentioned. But you say, well, what must I do? What price is to be paid for this freedom from these burdens? The answer is nothing at all. This freedom, this deliverance, this rest from these burdens is completely free, because Jesus has paid the price on that cross. Do you have to achieve a certain level of goodness before you can experience these things? No. They are totally free. The one thing you have to do is this. You have to realize that you are a sinner. And you have to realize that you cannot contribute anything to your salvation. And come to him completely empty-handed. And receive from him that gift of salvation. And you must be willing to abandon your sin. You cannot bring sin with you to Jesus. You have to leave your sin behind. But he says, come. He says to come. Now, maybe everybody here is a Christian. I don't know. But even if you're a Christian, hear these words of Jesus. Have you been allowing burdens that you weren't meant to carry to start to build up on your shoulders again? Perhaps there was a time when you can look back to when you first came to Christ and you can remember the great relief, the great joy, the great sense of freedom that you had when you first came to Christ. But now, little by little, these burdens have come back onto you, which you were never meant to keep on carrying. And perhaps you need to come back to the cross again. And just like when Pilgrim, in Pilgrim's Progress, he went to the foot of the cross and that burden rolled off his shoulder and rolled down the hill. So you need to come to Jesus again and let him give you his rest and take the burden from your shoulder. So that's the first thing. We are to come to Christ and to give to him our burden. Now the second thing I'm not going to say so much about, but it's the second thing is this. We see from these verses, not only are we to come to Jesus and let him take from us our burden, but also to receive from Jesus his yoke. So we see a swap here, an exchange. We give him our burdens and he gives us his yoke. So look at verse 29 and 30 with me. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, some of us perhaps have lived in countries where still there are oxen who would be paired together with a yoke on them to plough a field. Other of us, maybe we've read about this in books, or we've seen documentaries on television or whatever. But basically, what is a yoke? A yoke is normally a piece of wood which has been carefully carved to fit the shape of an animal. And usually a yoke goes between two animals. You have two animals who are put side by side, and the yoke is like this bar that goes across the two animals, and then attached to that bar is a piece of wood which goes perpendicular to that, to the yoke, which goes between the animals, and usually attached to that bar, that beam going between the two, that goes between the two animals, will be something like a plough. And so the two animals are yoked together, and then they're set off by the farmer to walk through the field. And as they walk through the field, they pull the plough behind them, and they do a tremendous amount of work between them. Now, have you ever wondered, when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you"? Okay, that's you, but who's the other one? Who's the one next door to you that's also yoked, that you're yoked together with? Who's that? Well, it must be Jesus, mustn't it? We're to be yoked together with Jesus. And we are to work together with Jesus. Now, so we see then that Jesus has got work for us to do. What, after all, an animal that is yoked is not just yoked up with a yoke just in order just to stand around, is he? Or to lie on the floor, yoked to this other animal. He's yoked to the other animal in order to do some work. And Jesus wants us to receive his yoke in order that we may work. What is that work that he wants us to do? Well, he wants us to obey his commandments. But you say, "But Henry, haven't you just said that this salvation of the Lord is completely free? There's nothing to be paid for." Yes, that's right. We receive his salvation entirely freely. But having received his salvation entirely freely, he's then got work for us to do. We're not, Ephesians 2:8, 9 and 10, "It is by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do." We're not saved by works, but we are saved in order to do works. And those works can be hard work. It's hard work to fight against the devil. It's hard work to fight against sin. It's hard work to fight against the world. It's far easier just to take a back seat and just to do nothing, you know, just to relax and do nothing, and not to fight against sin in your life, and not to stand up for Christ in the world. But the Lord says, "No. Take my yoke upon you." And we might be fearful when we think, "Oh no, I've got some work to do." But see what he says. "Take my yoke upon you," he said, "and learn of me, Receive my word. Learn of me what I would have you to do. And you don't need to worry about that, he says, because I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm not some cruel master who gets out the whip and cracks the whip and says, now do this and do that. And he's not like Pharaoh who said to the Egyptians, to the Israelites, right, make more bricks, but doesn't give them the raw materials to do it with. He's gentle. He's meek. He's lowly in heart. He gives to us just the right works to do and just the right energy with which to do them. The strength that we need for what he has told us to do, he provides. John says in his first letter, God's commandments are not burdensome. And that's what he goes on to talk about. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That yoke that he has given to us is exactly fitted to our shoulders. And those commandments that he's given to us are the commandments that are good for us. His law is good and perfect. There's nothing wrong with his law. You don't need to worry about, is God going to tell me to do something that's bad for me? No. Because what God has given to us to do in his word is absolutely perfect and righteous and good. And for our very good. And so Jesus promises that as we take his yoke upon ourselves, we shall find rest for our souls. And so we see here that there's two ways in which Jesus is calling us to receive his rest. First of all, we receive his rest when we first, and we know his rest when we first come to him and we give to him all of those burdens that we've been carrying. And through the cross, we know all those burdens taken away. But then also, we experience his rest as, having first believed, we then continue in our service of the Lord in our lives. Now, as I draw to a close, let me ask you this question. Number one, are you at this point in time carrying a burden that you are not meant to carry? A burden of guilt, a burden of resentment, a burden of anxiety, a burden of feeling you got to fulfill expectations that you're not meant to fulfill? If that's the case, come to Jesus and leave that burden with him. But let me ask you another question. Is it that you're actually not allowing Jesus to put his yoke on you? Are you refusing to let that yoke go onto your shoulders? Or maybe the yoke is on your shoulders, but you're chafing at it. And, sometimes you get an animal that just won't go in the direction it's meant to go. We've got one animal in a pair of oxen, and it's very happy to just plod through the field and go where it's meant to go. The other wants to go off over that way, and then he wants to go off over that way, and then he stops still. And then, come on, get moving, and then he charges on. And are you being like that? The animal that won't actually go where it's meant to go? Are you chafing at the bit, as it were? You're refusing to do what the Lord wants you to do? So, Don't carry burdens you're not meant to carry. But make sure you do carry the yoke that the Lord does want you to carry. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't give up being a Christian. Don't give up serving the Lord. Continue in the good works that He has given you to do. And you will then know His double rest. The rest of not carrying burdens that you weren't meant to carry, but also the rest of in your soul of walking with Him and bearing the yoke that He did want you to carry. May God bless His word to us.